Bible says in verse 5, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loosen the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb," capital L, Lamb, "as it had been slain. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Who's that? That's Jesus Christ. "Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God." The Father has the seven spirits of God around his throne. The Lamb, he has the seven spirits of God, the seven eyes, the seven horns, which are the seven spirits of God. And the Holy Ghost has the seven spirits of God. And I want to read something to you. In St. John chapter 7, verse 39. Well, you know what? I'll start reading beforehand in verse 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Verse 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, that they, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And if you have your Bible, I ask you please to open your Bible and look at the few things that I'm going to say, that it might help you see it for yourself. If you have a Bible that's corrupt, you'll see how you have a King James Bible that is corrupted. There's been many Bible publishers that have printed King James Bible that are corrupted by man. They've changed words, they've changed letters, they've done certain things as to corrupt the Word of God. And if you have a different spirit or whatever as than what mine says, then today you have a wrong King James Bible. And the Bible said in St. John chapter 7, verse 39, "But this spake he of the Spirit, that they which believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given." See, there's a difference in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost. There's a difference. He spoke about the rivers of living water. "These things spake ye of the Spirit." If you believed on him, you would receive that Spirit, the rivers of living water. "For the Holy Ghost was not yet given." The Holy Ghost was not yet given to the church. The Holy Ghost was not yet given. When did the church receive the Holy Ghost? The church received the Holy Ghost. Jesus breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Ghost. And that was at the end of the book of John. He breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, they received the Holy Ghost. And you see how they spoke with other tongues. They could speak and all that. All other people in other languages could understand, because the Holy Ghost was on them. And they heard a sound as if it was a great mighty wind, because the Holy Ghost came upon them. They received the Holy Ghost. But before that, they had the Spirit. "Now their belly shall flow rivers of living water." There's a difference. And before we understand these spirits, we have to understand the difference. And what the Holy Ghost is, what the Spirit is, what the lowercase s Spirit is. There's an uppercase Spirit and there's a lowercase Spirit. And there's the Holy Ghost. We must understand that before we move on to understand the seven spirits of God. The Spirit, first of all, is not the Holy Ghost. "He spake these things of the Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given." The Spirit is not the Holy Ghost. Let me say this. Harold Seidler was probably a greater man of God than I would ever dare dream to be. But one of his greatest follies is that he believed that the Holy Ghost and the Spirit were interchangeable.
Right.
So the biggest, where did he get that from? He got that from studying the back of a concordance. Right. You study the back of a Strong's concordance, you study a lexicon, it'll tell you that a ghost is breath or it is a spirit. It is a spirit. But the Spirit is not the Holy Ghost, as I just read to you in John 7:39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, that they which believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." the rivers of living water that Jesus spoke of was the Spirit, but was not the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And obviously we see a difference, as in this chapter of John 7. So the question is, what is the capital S Spirit? It is the Father. It is the Spirit of the Father. And we'll see that. It is His Spirit. And in Matthew 10:20, it tells us that they had the Spirit of the Father, which would tell them what to say when they stood before me, and they had the Spirit of their Father. And ladies and gentlemen, we see that in Matthew 10:20. And not only that, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is that Spirit. And God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you look up the Lord and capital L, lowercase, listen now, lowercase O-R-D, that is referring to the Father. You can go to Psalms 110 and I'll read it. Psalms 110 and I believe verse 1. The Bible says in verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Who is that capital O-R-D? If you have your Bible and you're looking at it, if you have a King James Bible, the Lord, capital O-R-D, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, said unto my Lord, capital L, lowercase O, lowercase R, lowercase D, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Jesus Christ speaking to the Father. The Word of God speaking to the Father. And see, the Lord is that Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. You'll find in your Bible many times. And see, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the Bible says in Romans 8:11. And the Spirit that raised Him up from the dead dwell in you. Whose Spirit was that? Who raised Jesus from the dead? Who has the Spirit of life? It is the Spirit of the Father.
Right.
It is who raised Him from the dead? The Father raised Him from the dead. The Bible said, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You go look at Galatians 1:1. We'll also see this. Who raised Jesus from the dead? The Father did. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead. Who raised Him from the dead? The Father did. The Father did. So in Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, whose Spirit is that? It is the Father.
Right.
It is the Father. And so we see that there's a difference in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost, and that Spirit is the Father. Then we see the Holy Ghost is not the Spirit. Number two, the Holy Ghost is not the Spirit, as we just saw in John 7:39. So what is a ghost? Is a ghost a spirit only? And I'm not talking about the Hollywood version of a ghost. What is a ghost? What is a biblical ghost? The Bible said in Genesis 25 that Abraham gave up the ghost. Genesis 35:29, Isaac gave up the ghost. Jesus on the cross gave up the ghost. And a ghost is more than a spirit. Every human being has a ghost. You have a ghost. You have a body and then you have a ghost. A ghost is that soul and that spirit. It is more than a spirit. It is more than a spirit. A ghost is a soul and a spirit. You see, Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, had a soul. His soul was made an offering for sin. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he had a body. And you find the Holy Ghost. He was a ghost. He is a ghost. He has a soul. He has a spirit. But he does not have a body until he takes up residence in a believer. And then we find the Father. God is a spirit. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. He is a spirit. So the Holy Ghost is more than a spirit. He is a ghost. He is a soul and a spirit. And every time you find Jesus, the Godhead being mentioned in your Bible, it never one time ever says the Holy Spirit.
Aye.
Nowhere ever in your Bible when it refers to the Godhead, it says the Father, the Word in 1 John, and the Holy Ghost. Book of John, he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It never said the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Your NIVs, the NKJV, the RSV, the ASV, the Living Bible that Billy Graham promoted, every one of them, without exception, make the Holy Ghost the Holy Spirit. Every one of them. The King James Bible is the only one that didn't change that. Why? Because he is the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you something. People call him the Holy Spirit. I want to show you this. Go to Psalms 51.
That's good.
Go to Psalms 51. And here in this portion of Scripture, of course, many of you know, it's a picture of David repenting over his sin with Bathsheba. And in his own words. But listen, this is what he said. I'm going to try to find the right verse. All right, there it is. Verse 11, Psalms 51. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. How many of you are looking at your Bibles? Is that a lowercase H and S? Is that both lowercase H and S? It is, if you have the right Bible. So who is that? Is that the Holy Ghost? No, that is Jesus Christ.
Right.
It goes on to say this. And verse 12, restore to me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit. Lowercase s. Lowercase s. I'm going to prove that it's Jesus Christ in a little bit. That is Jesus Christ. That's not the Holy Ghost.
Aye.
He said the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Ghost. He said the Holy Spirit both in lowercase. That's not the Holy Ghost. There's another place. I'm going to show it to you. Let's see here. Go to Isaiah 63:10. Isaiah 63:10. You have the right Bible. None of this will mess you up. I tried to explain this to some people that had the wrong Bible, had different King James Bible. I mean, you can pick up a King James Bible printed by the Jubilee Publishers in 1980, and it's going to be different than the Cambridge. It's going to be different than the Oxford. They're all different. They're all messed up. But except for this Cambridge Bible that I hold in my hand, it's not been messed up yet. It's not been messed up. But Cambridge has been messed up. Isaiah 63:10. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. How many of you are looking at your Bibles? Is that a capital H? No. If you have the right Bible, that's not a capital H. It's a capital S. Capital S. Who is that? That's the Father.
Right.
That is the Father. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. See there? They say, oh, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy... That's not the Holy Ghost. And that, where you're looking at, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's the Father. They vexed his Holy Spirit. That is the Father. And then we go on to look at Luke 11:13. Matthew, Mark, Luke 11:13. Listen. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The Holy Spirit, is that capital H and capital S? It's because that belongs to the Holy Ghost. It belongs to the Holy Ghost. That is one of the manifestations of the seven spirits of God in the Holy Ghost. Every one of those were through each person of the Godhead.
Right.
The Holy Ghost. Here's both capital H, Holy, capital S, Spirit. But there's places in your Bible where they're different. That is not the name of the Holy Ghost. His name is the Holy Ghost. That's his name. And we wonder why we've grieved God. We wonder why we grieve God. The sad thing is, half of you probably don't care. You're just going, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We'll call the Holy Ghost the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You just go on. Half these preachers don't care. If you told them, they wouldn't care. We wonder why we grieved God, because we cannot be taught anything. I'll tell you why. Because they don't have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
They don't have the Holy Ghost. If you cannot be taught the Bible, you do not have the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
You do not have the Holy Ghost. And so we see the Holy Ghost is not the Holy Spirit. He's not the Spirit. And he's not, ladies and gentlemen, he's not the lowercase H, Holy, capital S, Spirit. He's not the lowercase H and S, Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Ghost. That's his name.
Right.
Then we see the lowercase S, Spirit, is neither the Holy Ghost or the Spirit. Every time you find this lowercase S, Spirit, in your Bible, it is always Jesus Christ. Luke 23:46, Jesus cried with a loud voice. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, lowercase S. Go ahead and look at it, so that you don't just think I'm crazy. Luke 23:46. Luke 23:46. Bible says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That's a lowercase S. If you have the right Bible, if you're looking at it, it's a lowercase S. Spirit.
Read the rest of it.
And listen. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Gave up the ghost. Gave up his soul and spirit.
Right.
His soul was made an offering for sin. Where did his soul go? Thou will not leave my soul in hell. Thou will not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. His body went to the grave. His spirit went to the Father who gave it. And his soul was made an offering for sin and went down into hell. That's what happened. His soul was made an offering for sin. Thou will not leave my soul in hell. Thou will not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That's a whole other message that half these Baptists don't believe. They think you're a nutcase if you believe Jesus went to hell. But the Bible said it. Thou will not leave my soul in hell. Who's that talking about? That's not talking about David. That's talking about Jesus Christ. You say, well, hell in the Bible means death. Blah, 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 blah. Show me a place. Show me one place in your Bible where hell is death. Show me one place in your Bible where hell is death.
It's good.
Not one place in your Bible. Study the Old Testament all you want to and go through there. It'll talk about how the fire and the judgment of God go down into hell. It'll tell you all that. Hunger and thirst. People can't wait 5 minutes to go down to the buffet line. Can you imagine when they go to hell without any food or drink? Say, I won't be thirsty in hell. The rich man was. You'll get hungry and you'll get thirsty. How about eternity without being able to go down to the buffet bar? How about that? Why? Because you didn't want Jesus Christ. You didn't want Jesus Christ. And then we see, not only in this portion, Job 26:13. The Bible says, by his spirit he garnished the heavens, lowercase s. His hand had formed the crooked serpent. The Bible says in John, who made everything? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. Who? Jesus. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. So, who made all things? Who formed the serpents, the crooked serpents, with His hands? That was Jesus. Jesus did that. So when it's a lowercase s spirit, who's it talking about there? It's talking about Jesus.
Right.
And not only that, we go over to Genesis chapter 6. And the Bible says, we'll start reading in verse 1. It came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord, look at that. Capital O, capital R, capital D. Who is the Lord? That is Jehovah God. That is Jehovah. Who is Jehovah? It's Jesus in the Old Testament. Isaiah 12:2 refers to the Lord, Jehovah. The Lord is Jehovah, and that is Jesus Christ. The Lord said, my spirit, lowercase s, my spirit shall not always strive with man.
That's a good boy.
And for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. He's going to give him another 120 years to repent. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Why isn't that uppercase? Why isn't that a uppercase S? Because that is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So we find whenever it's referring to the lowercase s, that it is referring to Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned earlier in Psalms 51, David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He said, said also about, uphold me with thy free spirit. Who's he talking about? Jesus Christ. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And it is the manifestation of Jesus Christ. Go to Exodus 31, verse 3. See, everybody thinks that all the Spirit of God, they use the Spirit of God. They don't even know which one they're talking about half the time. And where was I going? Exodus 31. I want you to see this. Verse 3. Bible says, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. You see that? That's a lowercase s, Spirit of God. Is that the same Spirit of God as the capital S?
Sure.
No. That's talking about Jesus Christ.
Right.
The Spirit of God, and how does the Spirit of God manifest itself? In wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Whenever those people were going about, they were going to build the tabernacles, they were going to build all that stuff out there, and God had to give them wisdom to be able to figure out, how are we going to melt this gold? How are we going to do all this? How are we going to make these silver instruments? How are we going to do all that? God had to give them wisdom. And how was it manifested? It was manifested through Jesus Christ. Those seven spirits of God manifested in Jesus Christ. Gave them wisdom. You want to know who's working in your life whenever you're getting wisdom? You want to know who's working in your life when you get understanding and knowledge? You want to know who's working in your life when you get the knowledge to be able to work all manner of workmanship? That is the Jesus Christ working in your life, working inside of you to give you wisdom, to give you understanding, to give you knowledge. That is Jesus Christ. So, and why is it different than an uppercase spirit of God? Because that uppercase spirit of God is one of the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. And we'll see that. We'll look at that. So, we see also in 1 John 5:8. Let's turn there. Some of your Bibles are probably messed up. Some of them. Hopefully not. But about every Bible that I pick up that's a King James Version is messed up here. 1 John 5, verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit. That is supposed to be a lowercase s. How many of you have an uppercase s there? You have an Oxford, don't you? Oxford changed that. C.I. Schofield changed that a long time ago. It's wrong. It's wrong. You have a corrupt King James Bible. It's been corrupted. Why is it an uppercase? What happened? Why does it say a lowercase spirit? Why does it say the spirit, the water, and the blood? Who had the water? Who had the blood?
At the cross.
What came from Jesus' side?
The water and the blood.
How come every time it refers to Jesus Christ, it's a lowercase s, but all of a sudden they wanted to change it to an uppercase s? He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and thus he gave up the ghost, and he pierced that Roman centurion, pierced the side of Jesus Christ, the water and the blood came out, the earth began to shake, and it turned as dark as could be, and that Roman centurion said, surely this was the Son of God. What bore witness on this earth? What bore record on this earth? It was the spirit of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It was his spirit. It's his spirit. Then we'll see. What else bore record from heaven? It was the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. They bore record from heaven. The Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. This is my beloved. He bore record. He didn't say that for Jesus' sake. He said that for our sake.
Right.
It bore record from heaven. And then we find the Word. The Word bore record. How many times do you find, and I may have this wrong, I don't know, but I believe I'm right. How many times do you find Jesus coming through fulfilling a prophecy? Somebody that we know got all mixed up not too long ago about, oh, he was going to come in on the ass and the foal of an ass. He was going to come into Jerusalem. Oh, was he riding two at the same time? Oh, here's a mess up in the Bible. But he was too dumb to go over there and look at Zechariah 9:9. That told him that Jesus was going to come in riding an ass and the foal of an ass. He was going to come into Jerusalem riding them both. It was Bible prophecy. What did Jesus do? He fulfilled the Word of God.
Exactly.
The Word
right.
of God bore record that he was the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. The Bible said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son. That's what it said in the Old Testament. What happened? Jesus was born of a virgin. Fulfilled the Word of God. It bore record that he was the Son of God. And on and on and on and on and on. All through your Bible. He fulfilled it. And then you find the Holy Ghost. Lighted upon him like a dove. Came down, lighted up. People saw it. Bore record that this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. Then Jesus' Spirit. Poor record on this earth. I am the Son of God. And the water that came from the side, the blood that came from the side, bore record on this earth that he was the Son of God. Bore record in his spirit. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Saying thus, he gave up the ghost. So, if your Bible is a capital S, which I've had Bibles that were like that, and I didn't know. And I'm not mad at you because if you did not know, it's what are you going to do because you do know? What are you going to do if you do know?
It's good.
You don't care. You don't care that you have a corrupt Bible. It grieves God. It grieves God. And not only that, we look at the difference. We've already looked at the difference. I got ahead of myself. Sorry, in my notes. Then we go on to understand the seven spirits of God. Revelations 1:4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. The seven spirits of God are lamps, according to Revelations 4:5. Lamps make manifest that which is hidden.
Aye.
That's what these spirits do. They make manifest the workings of Jesus Christ. They manifest these things. They shine a light in on it. They help us to understand the working of Jesus Christ. They help us to have an understanding of the Holy Ghost's work. They give us an understanding of the working of the Father. All these preachers preach salvation, but almost every time the Father is left out of it.
Yeah.
The Father is left out of it. The Bible said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. They always make that the Holy Ghost, but it says it's the Father. The Father draws him. The Father draws him. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. They always put the Father out. There's the working of the Holy Ghost. There's the working of Jesus Christ and what he done on Calvary, but the Father is never mentioned. But these spirits, they help us to see the working of the Godhead, each person of the Godhead. Through studying the seven spirits of God, You'll begin to understand each person's work within the Godhead. And let's move on to understand how they each operate. Then first we see the manifestations of the seven spirits of seven spirits manifested in Jesus Christ. We find the Spirit of God, as we just read in Exodus 31:3. The Spirit of God. And one thing that you get messed up on trying to do this, is you find the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of wisdom. That comes from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of understanding, that comes from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of knowledge, that comes the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And so you might look at it and say, oh, this has me all confused because there's more than seven here.
Right.
But it is the Spirit of God. That is the Spirit of God manifested.
That's good.
And that is Jesus Christ. And the lowercase s, Spirit of God. So to understand Jesus Christ, we understand that whenever wisdom is being put in your life, knowledge is being put in your life, understanding is being put in your life, that is the manifestation of Jesus Christ. And then we see the Spirit of the Lord. We read it in Genesis 6:3. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. But you also find it in other places where it's a lowercase s, Spirit of the Lord, capital O-R-D. But you find it in Genesis 6:3. And what does this spirit do? It strives with man. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. What does the spirit do? It strives with man. It strives with man. I'm not going to go through all of these for the sake of time. But he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You want to know who strives with you and works with you and tries to bring you to Christ? That is Jesus Christ striving with you and striving with you and striving with you.
Good.
And so on. To get you to repent. Then we saw in Psalm 51:11, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Then we see the Spirit of the Lord God in Ezekiel 39:29, the Spirit of truth in 1 John 4:6. There is another Spirit of truth that's an uppercase. Go to 1 John 4:6. I'm already there. 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And we are of God. And he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever you, especially as a young Christian, you'll begin to hear people say many things. You'll hear people come out with all kinds of doctrines. And you'll hear truth. And a lot of times you can see whether or not somebody's saved based on how does that person respond to truth. Did they have the spirit of error or did they have the spirit of truth? How do you respond? Which spirit do you have? Whenever somebody's preaching line upon line, precept upon precept, rightly dividing the word of God, how do you receive it? How do you receive it? There's a lot of folks. You can take something that's from, literally, you can look at somebody and say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they will get mad at you. Why? They don't have the spirit of truth. They won't receive truth. They will not receive truth. Why? Because they don't have the spirit of truth. I don't know if you understood that or not. I hope you did. But how do you respond to truth? How do you respond to truth? Whenever you hear it, do you want to look into it and see if it's right? Or do you just, oh, they're an idiot. They're an idiot. That's something I ain't ever heard of. They're an idiot. They don't have the spirit of truth. And then we see 2 Thessalonians 2:8, the working of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians, somewhere in here. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. All right, there's 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. even him who is coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. And them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. What is Jesus going to do? What is the working of Jesus Christ? One day he's going to come. The spirit of his mouth, he's going to destroy them. Now I want you to understand this. When you look at the spirit of his mouth, you have to look at the judgment of God. Jesus has been given the judgment of God. All judgment has been appointed to his Son. It is the working of Jesus Christ. All the judgment has been appointed to his Son. One day he's going to come and he's going to destroy Satan. He's going to destroy that wicked. He's going to destroy Satan with the spirit of his mouth. That's how he's going to destroy him. Whenever you find the spirit of his mouth in your Bible, lowercase s, that is the manifestation of Jesus Christ. Then you find in Revelations 19:10, the spirit of prophecy. And we won't go there. Revelations 19:10, the spirit of prophecy. So, number one, the spirit of God, Exodus 31:3. Number two, the spirit of the Lord, Genesis 6:3. The Holy Spirit in Psalms 51:11. The spirit of the Lord God, Ezekiel 39:29. Spirit of truth, 1 John 4:6. The spirit of his mouth, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And number seven, the spirit of prophecy, Revelations 19:10. Revelations 19:10. Then we find the seven spirits manifested in the Father. There's the spirit of your Father, Matthew 10:20. What does he do? He's going to help you to know what to say whenever you stand before judges, when you stand before kings. How many times have somebody asked you a question and you may have not been able to remember it on a normal circumstance, but it comes to you and comes to you and comes to you. And you just have the right things to say. Hey. I was talking to Brother McVeigh not too long ago, and he was talking about Mormons coming to his house. And he said that whenever he stood at his front door and started talking to those Mormons about what the Bible said, the Lord started bringing things and telling him, showing him what to say to those people. And he began to talk about those false prophets and what they would do and all these things. And he said, I normally wouldn't remember it.
Sure.
But the Spirit of the Father gave him the things to say. Then we find Isaiah 63:10, which we mentioned a moment ago, the Holy Spirit with a lowercase h, the Holy Spirit. Then we find the Spirit of the Lord in 2 Corinthians 3:17. We'll read it. Spirit of the Lord. We'll just read it. I try not to expound on it because I don't want it to take forever. Plus, I'm not very smart. Is that right? 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That is the Spirit of the Father. Of course, we already looked at it earlier about the Spirit. When it's a capital S, many times in your Bible, that is referring to the Father. The Lord is that Spirit. And it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, whenever there's liberty in your life, that is a manifestation of the Father. Now, he's not given us the spirit of bondage again unto fear. That's not what the Father does. He gives you liberty. He gives you liberty. There's liberty in Christ Jesus. It's not a grievous thing. You don't have to sit around grieve, live in the things of God. If you're grieved, having to try to keep the commandments, and it's grievous and it's miserable, it's because you probably don't have the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we move on. We see the spirit of adoption, Romans 8:16. Romans 8:16, we'll see what it does. Romans 8:16, the Bible says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What's the working of the spirit of adoption in our life? We cry, Abba, Father. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God.
Ah.
That's what happens. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you don't have that, you don't have the Spirit. You don't have the Spirit of adoption. And you get this. This works in your life whenever you're a believer. This works in your life whenever you're saved. This is the working of the Father in a saved person's life, that when he believes, there's his Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. And that Spirit of adoption cries, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. You go to your prayer closet and you can say, Oh, Lord, my Father.
Oh, boy.
And you can be honest about it. There's some people that say, Oh, he's my Father. But deep down inside, that spirit don't bear witness with their spirit. There's those doubts and those fears. And there's a lot of folks, ladies and gentlemen, they'll begin to worry about things. What they'll do is they'll call it, I'm getting wiser with old age. They sit around and they're fearful about everything. Or they'll sit around and they'll look in the mirror to try to find some disease. I got this bump on my arm. I've got cancer. What is that? That's the spirit of, they have fear. And you find all these people, they sit around and they worry about all. The Bible said the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. It isn't wisdom with age. They sit around and they have fear, and fear grips them. Fear controls them. That is the working of God in some people's lives. That is the working of God. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever you have the Father, when you have God, perfect love casteth out fear. You don't have to sit around and worry about, oh God, do I have cancer today? Am I going to die from cancer today? Oh, what's this bump on my arm? You can get cancer with the peace of God which passeth understanding and face it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a fearful thing that I just said. But you can face cancer with the peace of God which passeth understanding. No. That you've been born again, that you're not going to go to hell. Some people, I tell you, a lot of times they throw all these I have this physical problem. I have that physical problem. I have all these things. They get all these things out in the open. They worry about their physical problem all the time because they're scared they're going to go to hell. They're scared. Deep down in their soul, they know that they're going to go to hell, and they're scared to death. They're scared to death. What do they try to do? They try to think, oh, I'll go down to the doctor. He'll fix my spiritual problem. Oh, I'll go to the psychiatrist. He can fix my spiritual problem. No, you need Jesus.
Yeah.
You need Jesus. People all the time, they've got some physical problem. They're all the time scared to death that they're going to die. Oh, God, while I'm driving down the road, what if somebody comes in my lane? Oh, I'm scared to go hiking. I can't go hike up that mountain. What if I fall and break my ankle or roll over and die? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, list goes on. You can listen to people talk like that. Oh, it's wisdom. Well, they know you are fearful. You live in fear. And God's perfect love casteth out fear. It'll cast that out. You don't have to sit around worrying all the time. Where's faith and fear? Sitting around living in fear, being scared all the time. Well, what if? Perfect love casteth out fear. Where's faith in your fear? And then we find some of that might have went over some of your head. And some of you might try to twist that what I said, but I'm telling you the truth. There's people that sit around and they worry about everything going to hurt them, everything's going to kill them, because they know that if they die deep down in their soul, they're going to fry in hell. They know that.
That's right.
So they try to focus on my physical problem. I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of those people have devils. Devils. Oh, I'll sit in church. Oh, goodness. How come every time I go to church, I just feel sick? Every time I go to a camp meeting, there's a problem with me physically.
It's good, boy.
The devils don't want you to hear the truth. They don't want you to believe the truth.
Sure.
But God's perfect love, His perfect love, casts that out.
Yeah.
That's all the perfect love there is.
And not only that, we see the Spirit of His Son in Galatians 4:6. Then we see the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then we see the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So number one, we see the Spirit of your Father, Matthew 10:20. Number two, the Holy Spirit with a lowercase h, Holy Spirit, Isaiah 63:10. Number three, the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Number four, the Spirit of adoption. Romans 8:16. Number five, the Spirit of the Son. Galatians 4:6. Number six, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:19. And number seven, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What has it done? It's made us free from the law of sin and death. In Romans 8:2. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What? There's now therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. Then we see the seven spirits manifested in the Holy Ghost. You find the Holy Spirit, Luke 11:13. You see, the Spirit of God is one of the manifestations of the seven spirits of God in the Holy Ghost. Talking about the Spirit of God. Then we see the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10:29. We'll go ahead and look at it. Hebrews 10:29. The Bible says, verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who hath trod underfoot the Son of God, who hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified as an unholy thing, and hath done despite of the Spirit of grace. Capital S, Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace. And for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. But ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, it is the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace. One of the manifestations of the seven spirits of God. Then we see the eternal Spirit. Hebrews 9:14. And how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And we see, again, here's another place where the Holy, manifestation of the seven spirits of God through the Holy Ghost, who through the Holy Spirit offered himself without spot to God, the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. All right? Then we see the Spirit of Christ, 1 Peter 1:11. I want you to look at this. 1 Peter 1:11. Okay? Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now listen. Those men in the Old Testament, especially David, you read Psalms 22, my wife was reading it on the way here to church. When you read it, that is 100% talking about Jesus Christ. How did he do that? How did David do that? Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report, to whom hath the arm of the Lord revealed, he shall come up as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. His soul was made an offering for sin, da 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 da. How did he know that? How did he know that? It was the Spirit of Christ that was in him. Did signify of the sufferings of Christ before he ever came.
Right?
Before he ever came. The Holy Ghost was in them, ladies and gentlemen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of in righteousness. What does it mean to inspire? What does it mean to expire? It means that you breathe out.
Right.
That's what it means to expire. When you inspire, you breathe in. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God inspired. He didn't breathe out. He breathed in. He breathed in. So these men, they said that the Holy Ghost was never in those men in the Old Testament. They said, a lot of these preachers say the Holy Ghost never dwelt inside of any of those prophets in the Old Testament. Well, if it's inspired, ladies and gentlemen, God would have had to dwell in them. The Holy Ghost would have had to dwell in them and inspire, breathed in. And those men took in the Word of God and they began to pin it down because the Holy Ghost lived within them.
And but anyways,
good.
That's how they testified it. They had the Holy Ghost in them, and it testified of the sufferings of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, when they wrote the things, I imagine that they probably didn't have a whole big clue about what they were writing. I don't know. They may have. But all I know is this, that when they wrote it down, they were talking about Jesus Christ, whether they knew it or not. They were speaking of Jesus Christ. How? The Holy Ghost. And then we see the Spirit of Truth. John 16:13. The Spirit of Truth, with capital S, not a lowercase s, John 16:13. All right? The Bible says, howbeit when he with the Spirit of Truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He is the Comforter. He will glorify me. How do you know the workings of Jesus Christ in your life? Does your life glorify God? Does your life bring glory to God? There's a lot of folks that act like the Holy Ghost is given to them to bring glory to them. That's not the Holy Ghost. They have some other spirit.
Sure, buddy.
Oh, the Holy Ghost doesn't bring glory to you. The Holy Ghost don't bring glory to himself.
Never.
He brings glory to Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's what he does. He points to Jesus. You want to know what the working of the Holy Ghost is in the heart of somebody that's not saved? He says, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. That's what he does in somebody's life that's not saved.
Right.
It's the working of the Holy Ghost. And for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And ladies and gentlemen, what is the Holy Ghost? He is the Comforter. Who is the Comforter? He is the Holy Ghost. And that's in John 14, by the way. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. And let's see. Verse 26, John 14, but the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Ghost does. Why? Because he's the Spirit of Truth. He brings things to your remembrance. And he leads you and guides you into all truth. Now in 1 John, it talks about you've received that anointing. You need not that any man teach you. Why? Because you have the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Ghost. If you'll get inside your Bible, if you're saved, you don't have to go sit down in a Bible college to be able to understand. You don't have to go get a Bible with references in it. The Holy Ghost will teach you. If you're saved, the Holy Ghost will teach you. He'll give you understanding. Well, Jesus gives you understanding, but he'll teach you the Word of God.
That's good.
He'll teach you the Word of God. And he shall lead you and guide you into all truth. He is the Spirit of Truth. Then we find Ephesians 4:30, the Holy Spirit of Promise. That is another manifestation. That's number 7. The Holy Spirit of Promise, Ephesians 4:30. We'll look at it. I'll be done. And the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Another place it talks about the Spirit of Promise as well. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And we have that, if you're saved, you have that Holy Spirit of Promise. Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, there's a whole lot more to these.
Right.
I just scratched the surface of all this. You could go through and take those spirits that I shared with you and look at it. Every time they're mentioned. And you'll find out the things, how they're manifested, what they do, what they did, all those things. You'll find that. You'll find people that were filled with this and that and what they did as a result of it.
So I just skimmed. I just scratched the surface, especially because of time. But I want you to understand this, last of all, is that if you sat in a church 200 years ago, you would have never heard a Bible message on the rapture, not one time. Pre-tribulational rapture, you would have never heard a message on it. Was it true? Yes, it's true. Is it in the Bible? Yes, it's in the Bible. But many people didn't hear about it. There was a man, I don't know much about the man, but he was, I don't even know if this is the accurate history or not, but I believe that it is. A man by the name of John Darby in the 1830s began to preach. He was a Plymouth Brethren, began to preach on a pre-tribulational rapture, and people didn't pick up on it. In fact, it wasn't really until C.I. Scofield and Clarence Larkin began to teach it that people really began to believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. But nobody, if you had sat in the church even 120 years ago, it would have been hard for you to ever hear a preacher that ever preached on a pre-tribulational rapture. Now it's in your Bible. But it took years and years and years for people to understand it. It took years and years for people to grasp it and for people to believe it. It took a long time. And there's still people that don't believe it. Still people that don't believe it. But it is in your Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, it took years for people to understand it and to believe it. Whenever many doctrines that you've never heard of are first introduced, new doctrines, a lot of times they're crude. And you may not get everything that I've got as far as when you study this. You may not get everything similar. But ladies and gentlemen, if you study it, you'll begin to see the manifestations of the seven spirits of God, how they manifest themselves in each person in the Godhead. In each person of the Godhead. I understand. A lot of people think that it's crazy and everything else, but they've never heard it before. But you study it for yourself. You look at it. You see what the Bible says about it. And you'll find out that it's so. It's so. Let me just say this. Because I'm 25 years old, if that's how old I am, I don't even remember half the time. But because I'm 25 years old, I can look at somebody that's my dad's age, and tell them this, and they think that I'm a nutcase because I'm 25 years old. I'm not Harold Seitler. I've never heard Sammy Allen say that before. Guess what? Sammy Allen don't know everything. He don't. Neither do I. Neither does your pastor. Neither do any. How many of you can raise your hand and say, I know everything? Don't know everything. My wife knows everything.
Huh.
Surely does.
She's so sweet.